I know when you hear the beginning part, verse 23, this is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in the strong person or the wealthy person. And we usually, you know, we boast in the Lord, right? That's kind of what we remember from reading the scriptures. But this is a little bit different. Jeremiah is speaking for God, and he says that we should boast that we know him. And that's a whole total different perspective. I was taken aback. I probably have seen this text many, many times. This is the text for this, like I said, the first Sunday after Holy Trinity. So it's been there. It's been read year after year. And it just strikes me as we should boast with the fact that I know the Lord. There was a cartoon that I had seen, you know, you related to anyone famous. And a little kid, you know, kind of scuffs his heel. He says, I don't know, but I heard my dad saying, you know, calling God his father. I mean, how much more related to famous people, how much higher can you get than that, right? But that's the whole thing here, is that we were made to know God and to delight in that, in him and us. This whole thing, creation, us human beings. And I mean, that was the reason, most likely, they always say the devil, as when he was a good angel, fell to be an evil angel, was out of jealousy of human beings. That why would I serve that? You know, Star Trek, they were called carbon-based units, right? These fragile things made of skin and bones and blood and tissue and... when look at me, an angel, I'm eternal, I am immortal, I am strong, I can throw planets around or whatever. What kind of thing they can do. You saw what they did to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that they have the kind of power that they've been given. And so the devil is jealous because we were made to be friends of God. But we don't ever think about that. At least, I mean, how many times that I've, like I said, I've seen this text, and I mean, I have reflected on that before. But it's a hard thing to hold on to. And it's because we don't keep the commandments. It's because we are like Adam and Eve. We want to cover up. We want to hide in shame because we don't measure up to what God requires of us. There was a pastor when I was at Winkle a few months ago, and he said, you know, he said something struck him recently that he has to think about whether God likes him. You know, that's a kind of an odd thought, right? Does God like me? Yeah, but why? I don't like me a lot of times, right? So this is a strange notion. God, yeah, he loves us, right? Like, he's got to do that. But he doesn't really like us, you know. I mean, all the dumb things we do, all the things we don't accomplish even when we try, and worse. I mean, we could get into the horrid things that we do, the dark things, all of the sin that we have done and we have left undone and will do to the end of our life. So why would he like us? As a parent, I understand that a little bit more. Our children. I suppose there are parents that have children that don't like their kids because they've turned into a hellion or have, you know, done this and done that. But sometimes they're a pain in the butt, you know, and you don't like them for a while. Go in your room. You know, I don't want to put up with you. I don't want to see that face anymore. You know, that rebellious talk back type face. Go put it in the corner. Go put it in the timeout chair. Go to your room, you know. So, yeah, at times we don't, and maybe God is the same way. I mean, we don't know how he handles it. We look at things in time and space. God sees us in all time, all at once. He is always in all time, all at once. He is there. So, I don't know, but I mean, we only measure it by how we do. But this whole thing is that he says to boast in the fact that we know him, that he has revealed himself to us, and he's told us how he is, that he wants to be with us, and that he is the Lord, our God, and not just the all-powerful, but the one who is faithfully loving, showing faithful love, as Jeremiah has here. And justice, so that, you know, we might be a little bit worried about justice because we cut the guy off in traffic. Where's the cop? You know, did he notice? Oh, glad he didn't, you know. I was going a little heavy-footed the other day. Do they see that? Where's the radar? So justice, you know, it could be either or, right? For us or against us. But in here, I'm pretty sure it's for us. He's watching out. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He's watching out for us. He's protecting us. He's dealing with the bad guys, you know. And then righteousness on the earth. I'm the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness. He's showing righteousness, and it's not like, look at me, I'm righteous, and you're not. Of course, that's part of it. But this is something that we forget, that he is showing it to be on us, to be given to us, to us to be put in it. And righteousness is right standing before him. You have a right to stand before the living God. That's what righteousness is. We make it too abstract. It's a very medieval, and of course it goes further back than that, when you're dealing with kings and courts. A righteous person is one who has given the right to stand before the king without being killed, without being put into jail or punished or put into the dungeons in the deep. You know, that's what it means. So we have a right to boast that we know him, stand in his presence, not because of anything we have done, but because of what he has done for us and to us. He has made us righteous for Christ's sake. Jesus has taken all of that. He has taken all of our reasons that we can't and given us all his reasons why he can. And this is the Lord's declaration. So that means, you know, you remember the king of Siam, right? So let it be written, so let it be done, right? Or is that Pharaoh? I forget. But, you know, it is, either way, it is a declaration. So it's a legally binding word of God. So he declares us. And that hymn, Thy Strong Word, there's a line in that hymn that says, we are bespoken righteous. And that's just, you know, performative words. That was a phrase I learned at seminary. Never heard it before. But that's what pastors do. We're just doing what we're told to do. So we're using performative words. A judge does that when he gives his sentence. You know, not guilty, and he puts the gavel down, or guilty. But we from the Father get the not guilty because of Jesus, right? So, or when I perform a wedding, I now pronounce you man and wife, right? They are, because the invested power in me by the state of wherever I am. I have given that power, so I'm standing in the place in the stead of those with authority. And so I'm standing instead of Christ, telling you that you are righteous. You are bespoken righteous because he said so, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are forgiven. That means you have now a right to come and stand before him. Only forgiven people can. And this is what we have. And he says, I delight in these things. So this is, I mean, for Jeremiah, who is the weeping prophet, right? I mean, he has all kinds of things that go on. He gets thrown into a dark basement for a long time. And I don't know how high it is, but it's full of muck and mire, up to his knees, I think, or something like that. And I don't know how long he was under in that place. But this is Jeremiah, and they call him the weeping prophet. And it's just misery, misery. You know, he basically said, God said, when you go out, they won't listen, but you go out anyways. So talk about a job that has no satisfaction in it at all. They will not, you know, you can say everything right, and they're not going to believe. They're not going to listen. They're not going to change. You're going to see them get, you know, exiled, taken out. You're going to see all their homes ransacked. You're going to see people killed. You're going to see the nation wiped out. And you're going to tell them, this doesn't have to happen. The Lord is here. He will change it. Repent. And they don't. But in the midst of this, he has these things to say. He delights in these things, love, justice, and righteousness. And he's willing to give them. It's not earned. It's not paid for. Well, he pays for it, but it's not something we have to do to get them. I remember Augustine realizing that Adam and Eve, where did they get their righteousness from? Oh, they were created righteous. They were bespoken righteous, right? As he created all things. Fully grown righteous people. Boom. And that's how he does it with us too. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.